Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, I'm Ian Stone, and welcome to the first of what we hope is a long series of political podcasts. This is Taking the Pulse. Now, we have a broad range of political opinion on this podcast, which will become clear as time goes on. Jeff Norcott voted Conservative in the last election, voted for Brexit in the referendum, and has a large poster of Donald Trump on the wall in his front room. I might have made some of that up. Aisha Hazarika voted Labour in the last election and Remain in the referendum. Yes, if she's on board a political ship, you can be fairly certain it will dash into the rocks with all lives lost. As for me, my opinions are based almost entirely on opinions I've heard, which I like and then pass off as my own opinion. Now, there is only one place to start. It has been just over a week since Donald J. Trump was elected President of the United States by over 60 million people, none of whom were racist or sexist, at least not as much as the candidate. Aisha, is it going well? The world hasn't ended as yet.
Yet.
Yeah, no, it hasn't.
I mean, who knows what may happen? Like, we've still got a month of 2016 left. You know, anything happen.
He hasn't been inaugurated yet either. He has no actual power at this point. I saw a few Facebook posts that were certain events in the States where they said, well, and so it begins. I'm like, no, this is still very much part of Obama's tenure.
I know, but that is literally just like a stay of I mean, Obama's not really doing that much anymore. I mean, it's a stay of execution until it begins.
Did you see Obama walking around? He was walking about the Acropolis.
Yeah.
Someone said walking around democracy, which has been destroyed.
Because
I've been watching The West Wing, right? Because I watched The West Wing to make myself feel better. But the truth is, it's making me feel worse. Because what I've seen is every time I see it, I watch one where Glenn Close got elected to the Supreme Court. And it just made me think, what is Donald going to do? I mean, there's so many scenarios where I think, how can Donald handle any of this stuff?
Well, it is a bit like an early 90s revival, isn't it? You remember that thing, The Reunion, on ITV2? He seems to have done that, but with right-wing Christians, Newt Gingrich. He's just bringing them back, and apparently Will Meller's going to be on it, and a few lads from 911.
He's not even a Republican, is he, Donald Trump?
What, Will Meller?
Will Meller, he's definitely not. But Donald Trump doesn't really believe in anything that the Republicans believe in.
No, he's not definitely. Really. I would describe him as erratic in every sense. I think I think that a lot of the despair has come from me. From you. I mean,
yeah,
I saw
mainly.
You on Tuesday at the Cutting Edge. You looked like you hadn't slept since he got in.
Well, I'm a bit shell-shocked by the whole thing. I mean, listen, it makes perfect sense that we have a reality TV star in the White House. I didn't think it would happen that quickly. That's the point. I thought our veneration of reality TV.
It'll take 3 seasons, right?
That's right. It's like it did feel like the end of a box set, didn't it, really?
It did, yeah. Well, once the scriptwriters had run out of shocking surprise endings. There's a point where they jump the shark. I think, you know, I mean, as you know, I'm not what you describe as a liberal left-leaning type. Some of the despair seems to come from assessing the motives of the voters. But you know, once you found out that it was based on a 50% turnout, roughly, right? So you're already in the realms of a quarter, right?
Yeah, now, but then that's the American elector. That's always
that
happens,
is, and I'm not disputing that. I mean, but then, so that's only a quarter of them that voted for Trump. Within that, if you were generous and said half of the people that voted Trump weren't for the worst reasons, right? Then you're down to an eighth of people are racist idiots. And I think you go, yeah, that's kind of how I saw the world anyway, to begin with. If anything, where Hillary said that they were a basket of deplorables, I think she just got the maths wrong. I think she was absolutely right. But what she should have said was that will still only account for a quarter of all people. I mean, just take a walk down the street afterwards and you tell me if you think an eighth of the people look like racist xenophobes. I think that's about bang on.
I like the fact that you can tell just by looking at them. Yeah, I do. I find that encouraging and frightening.
Well, white straight males, Ian. Yeah, those guys. I've got no time for them, frankly. Ruining the world with every step.
I mean, Hillary was rubbish, right? Let's be fair. Hillary just didn't really project.
I absolutely disagree that Hillary was rubbish. She had a huge amount of experience. She had sort of lots of principles. I think she was hugely tarnished by the fact that she had been around Capitol Hill for a long, long time.
30 years.
But, you know, I think, if you're a person who has dedicated your life to public service, and she has dedicated like 4 decades to public service, she was a pioneering lawyer. She's fought for rights. She's fought, you know, for legal rights. She's a very smart, intelligent woman with a massive track record in having delivered stuff.
This is the positive spin on it, right? Let's be fair.
Well, it's the facts. I mean, she's
a dedicated life to something.
I mean, but hang on a minute. She is like, all the men that Trump are now bringing, that Trump is bringing back, they'll be in the Supreme Courts, they'll be sort of, you know, key positions. They are basically people who've had not dissimilar careers to Hillary, and they've been touted as people with their wise heads.
Oh, he's not draining the swamp, is what you're saying.
Well, he's the swamp monster, isn't he? I mean, he is sort of
who's
creature
this guy,
from the
black. Attorney General guy called Jeff Sessions or something that he's brought in? That, if there's ever a 90s porn star, that sounds like him.
Jeff Sessions, Sessions, by the way, was banned from being a judge in the 80s for being too racist. But now, apparently, he's fine to Attorney General. He's in charge of the law.
Things come back around, fashions, you know what I mean?
Racism.
He kept his racism in the cupboard. He knew it would come back in.
Is it all the fault of Brexit?
You mean me? You mean me by that?
Not just you. Yeah. I'm talking about the other eighth. I'm just saying, is it the fault of Brexit that essentially that the alt-right and the Trump supporters were emboldened by what they saw in Britain?
I think that
he's
Trump supporters...
He's going to say no now.
I'd love to believe that I had that sort of power, to be honest. I'd love to believe that there was somebody in Virginia just sitting there going, you know, what's that circuit comedian Jeff Norcott? How did he vote on Brexit? Did he go with the EU? I would love to believe that in our small island that we could... Well, not love to believe that we were responsible for Trump, but that most people in the Rust Belt gave a shit on that level. But I think that you're sort of analysing the symptom rather than the cause there. I think that feeling was already set into chain by a number.
Well, that sounds like a politician's answer to me.
I was going to say, that's very
sounds
good.
Very like,
you gave me a whole week to think of my answer by attacking me in the dressing room at a comedy store.
I basically accused him of ruining the entire Western world.
Basically,
with his
hadn't taken off my coat. You!
You walked in the door.
You people.
Your fault.
You people.
Well,
there's more coming, isn't there? I mean, it's not the end of it.
Brexit was absolutely connected. It's not the sole thing, but it absolutely was connected. And when Nigel Farage went over, apparently, like in the talks that he had with Trump.
Oh, one well, the men of the people. They're the men, right?
No, the army. It was an Elizabeth Duke lift.
Well, no, I thought it was. I don't know what that is. What's an Elizabeth Duke lift?
It's
Sorry.
An Argos, like gold they have.
It's not connected to David Duke. It's not like a true
class
clan.
You're not even in touch. I'm the most in touch person in this room, obviously. But Brexit was definitely connected, not the sole reason. But what was interesting is Nigel Farage and his team going over gave the Trump camp a massive shot in the arm by saying, double down on this massive emotional argument about, you know, they did the whole take back control as part of the Leave campaign. Double down on this message about making America great. Tap into the hysterical fears that people have about Mexicans and black people and all this kind of stuff. Double down on that. And that was certainly like something that it was important advice for them. It gave them, I think, a boost towards the end of the campaign when they were starting to flag a bit.
Every time I hear take back control, I hear take back your mink. Have you not seen Guys and Dolls?
Well, do you know, it's funny you talk about a musical. I was thinking of the Brexit connected to the Trump. So when we do reach the apocalypse, there'll be this weird kind of folk song that they sing to children that details it back to...
Are we not taking this seriously?
I think of Take Back Control Pants, but that's because I'm on a diet at the moment.
We talk about taking it seriously. Kanye West has come out and said that he would have voted Trump. He said this... this week.
I don't even know what to say to that fact.
That's a standard response to anything Kanye says. You're not supposed to know what to say to Yeezy.
No, it's sort of enigmatic. I'm amazed. Yeah. I'm amazed you knew the words of the script.
I actually think we live in a world where Donald Trump is slightly less ludicrous than Kanye West.
Yeah, this is...
Kanye West is like the most preposterous human on the planet, apart from Kim.
I'm not surprised.
Casey Hopkins.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised that when you, I'm not
right.
There's loads of them out there.
No, but Kanye is quite up there.
Kanye's way
you
up
look
there.
At Trump's
who doesn't
rhetoric?
Know the words to Bohemian Rhapsody? I mean, there's something wrong with anyone who doesn't know
in
the words
of music. I mean, you, Trump's rhetoric. At least some of that is going to appeal to rappers. I mean, so maybe not the race stuff, but certainly the ideas on women. I mean, you know, Grabbing by the Pussy does sound like early 90s gangster rap. Okay,
it does.
Grandmother pussy. I'm not saying
he's going
right.
to do a drive-by past the White House.
It just surprise me the idea of an aging gangster rapper would sit there thinking, well, he's not wrong about everything.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I mean, the people he's hiring, I've noticed the people he's hiring. There's some pretty strange people. Steve Bannon, have you heard about this guy,
yeah.
The Breitbart guy, who's basically doesn't like Jews. I mean, if he's met my family, I completely understand. But
he's
Steve Bannon is one.
Anti-Semitic.
Carson, who is the who was the black senator, I believe.
He's a surgeon, isn't he?
He's a brain surgeon who doesn't believe in dinosaurs. I mean, has he been practicing on himself?
Yeah, he is in the team.
No, he's not part of the team. No, he's not.
Has he appointed any women at all?
His daughter.
Yeah. Good. Ivanka.
It's good. So it's good. It's a world of meritocracy.
Yeah.
Women can get ahead in America. You just have to be
the daughter of the president.
And he's still appointed only because she was his hottest daughter.
Yeah, and he basically quite fancies her.
Yeah, the daughter who he'd most like to.
That's so raw.
She's married to the Jewish guy, so the Jews got an in.
Yeah.
So that's a relief for me.
That's good.
I'll talk to him about you two. The secretary.
Jeff's all right.
Why is Jeff
straight
all right?
White man?
Because he's a white man.
Male.
Yeah,
oh, yes,
he's all right.
Okay.
Christian
okay.
as well.
Is there anything?
You're all right, Jeff.
Yeah. I'm just trying to protect
Jeff's
myself.
Jeff's like God-fearing.
Christian Muslim Jew. I never even saw this one. Are there any positives to Donald Trump being president from our sort of. You know,
well, I suppose from the Brexit point of view, I mean, there's been a bounce in the value of the pound, particularly against the euro. I mean, I take genuinely no pleasure from the idea that Donald Trump becoming president sort of strengthens something that I voted for. But I think you can't deny... You know, there's a little bit. But you can't deny that it has slightly strengthened the hand because there's an uncertainty from the EU's point of view about the nature of the special relationship and also whether trade deals will now be made country to country. So some of the things that seemed a bit outlandish from Theresa May while Obama was in don't seem quite so far-fetched now.
Well, I think we might be all right with Donald in terms of the UK because he needs us, doesn't he?
Naive.
What?
Honestly.
He needs us.
He does not need us at all. We are like a little minnow in like
His
world
parents
politics
came.
Now.
Very important. We've got golf courses here. Back off.
Yeah.
Could be good for Scotland.
We are so unimportant. Our relevance is shrinking every week.
I can't believe
that passes.
And I feel like singing Land of Hope and Glory at this point.
Take back control.
big consumer economy. I mean, I think there's a tendency to downplay what we mean to the global buy and ship market.
Exactly. Yeah. The global buy and ship market.
Buying
we've
pointless
got,
shit market.
You know, that's why the Chinese...
No, that's why the Chinese are like...
No, but the Chinese, that's one of the reasons they won't nuke us, ever, the Chinese, because their GDP will go down by 10% the moment they do. There's no way they would do
but
that.
But we are quite annoying as well. There is a point where they go 10%, and they are
also,
really obnoxious.
The idea that, like, Donald Trump is going to, like, give us a really massively favourable... We will get a trade deal.
Nigel Farage will come through for us.
But... Yeah, as he always does. Yeah. We will have tariffs, really high tariffs on all of our stuff going on. We may be their friends, but they're still very ruthless and they know that, you know, we're in quite a vulnerable position.
Oh, we're going to be sitting here talking about Donald Trump for the next 4 years. You, I believe, have written a piece, Aisha, for The Guardian.
I have.
And it's about...
It's about Ed Balls and Strictly Come Dancing.
Let's talk about what's really
it's
important.
It's about serious politics.
Well yeah. Here's the segue, Miss. You've got a reality TV star that's become the president of the United States. You've got a former heavyweight political, former shadow chancellor, possibly about to win a reality TV show in
it.
This country.
And
do you see what
does.
I did there?
I hope he does, because I got £5 on him at 20
to 1. And so my piece that I've written is about
20 to 1, yeah, and he's going down.
In every scene. Yeah. He's been suspended, apparently, by a rope coming down onto the dance floor tomorrow night. But
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I thought it was really interesting because it's a real sign about how sort of bittersweet or glittersweet, I called it, British politics is. Ed Balls is the most popular politician in the country because he's making an idiot of himself, you know, on national television. Well, but he's basically the best thing we've got in British politics right now.
He looks human. He seems, but do you think that all politicians...
This is what bugs me about the British public. There's no doubt that what you're saying is absolutely true and it does humanise him. But I had a similar experience when I was a teacher in that the students do not see you.
Did you do Gangnam Style?
It was, I think it was the Running Man back then. But they don't see you as fully human. And then what happens is if a student sees you out, you know, doing something, they'll go, "Yes, sir, I saw you out." Like, "Yeah, you're all right, you are." And you're going, "Did you really need to see me getting chucked out of a harvester drunk to credit that I might be a human being?"
Yes, Mr. Norcott,
so there's no doubt.
Hello, sir.
There's no doubt. I mean, that's pretty close to something that actually happened. But the there's no doubt that you're right in what you say. It just kind of bugs me that it doesn't occur to British people. Oh, right, they might have a life or interests or passions outside of politics. And he must be dying inside, though.
No, I don't think he is. I believe, I mean, it looks to me like he's having a great time.
I know for a fact he is having an absolute great time.
And Yvette Cooper, who's his wife, seemed more human. She was on Question Time the other day, and she has a certain world weariness about her now, having seen her husband dancing on national TV in front of 10 million people for 10 weeks. I think it helps.
Ed had a bit of a twinkle of humour beforehand. I think the biggest thing that worked for Ed, well, didn't work for him, but when he ran against Ed Miliband and David Miliband to be leader of the Labour Party in 2010.
Yeah.
And he had never failed at anything. He had had this kind of gilded ascent in his life. He was very clever. He was a leader writer for the Financial Times. He then worked for Gordon Brown. He became an MP. He became a cabinet minister. Like nothing had ever... He'd never failed at anything. And he went for this leadership contest and he sort of came last. I think Diane Abbott came last and then he was the next. And he couldn't believe it. I think this was a big shock for him politically and personally. And as a result of that, he sort of started to kind of become a bit more of a normal person. He took himself less seriously. He was nicer to people. He started to do piano lessons. He just started to be a bit more fun, Ed. So it's kind of like no surprise, I think, that he's entered. But what I loved about him was on Thursday, he did this interview on the Today program because he's also a professor at Harvard University lecturing on politics. And he wrote this brilliant paper.
Renaissance man.
Yeah, he's like he's a polymath now. He did this brilliant paper all about kind of central independence of banks and like deflationary pressures.
Did he do it while dancing?
Well, no, but then he segued really neatly in and Nick Robinson said, "Thanks for that." Now, on to Blackpool, and he just segued into what he's going to do. Is he going to do a jive? He thinks he might do a pasodoble. And I thought, this is brilliant. This is the sort of politics people want. Someone who's really clever and a heavyweight, but they've also got a lightness of touch.
Well, I like square pegs in square holes. I'm quite happy for those people to be separate and distinct.
You're unusual. Most people prefer dancing politicians.
Well, we get to that point. You know how Ricky from the Kaiser Chiefs realised that for them to keep playing arenas, he needed to be a judge on a panel show. Is it going to be the politicians to get office will then realise, look, I've got to eat some kangaroo balls?
Ed doesn't have office. He got kicked. He can only do this, though, because he's not in office.
What I mean is, will that eventually, when they see how successful that's been for him, will that bleed into the idea that you need to have some other, if you want to stay big in one sphere, you know, like the same with stand-up, isn't it? People now sort of do telly for the live work.
Yes.
Will it be that politicians start doing the jump just so they can stay in the shadow cabinet?
They have been trying, because Nadine Dorris went on I'm a Celebrity last year.
That's right.
Una King went
unfortunately
on,
for her she was still Nadine Dorris wasn't she
yeah,
the whole
you know,
time
you went on Dancing on Ice something. So politicians have tried to do this. He's just doing it rather successfully.
Now you wanted to talk about what's happening with the royal family, who I assume you venerate almost as much.
I like the royals. I mean, the first thing is I don't see what there is beyond them. You get rid of them, you know, we're already struggling for cultural identity in this country anyway. You know, we still got Morris dancing. Other than that, cricket, dying sport. So I believe that you have to have something in that space, right? So,
yeah, but can I just say, is it grown up to have a royal family?
No, absolutely not. But is it grown up? There's so many things that have to be grown up. It's just frivolous. It's pointless. It costs us, what does it cost us? 56p per person per year. And you think, I'll tell you.
Does it? Is that what they say?
Yeah. 56 I mean, some people say that with security, it costs £1.50. That is, I mean, my argument with the royals has often been, people say take them off the civil list, right? Fine. The Queen is so popular the world over. If she did a Kickstarter, right, she would be be riches. She'd be so much richer than she is now. Not only that, she'd be off the grid, right? So all the, all this accountability, she'd have you. She'd have Frankie Boyle killed for talking about her pussy overnight. Like,
we're not talking about the Queen. The Queen, she's sort of above it all, isn't she? To a certain extent, but it's the rest.
Right.
Of
so
them.
It's this 369 million renovation over 10 years of Buckingham Palace.
This
now,
is what it is. So this is the taxpayer. This is us, by the way. Who
not
are paying?
Quite, not quite. Not so quite. What happened was is the Buckingham Palace generates profit, and she's allowed to keep 15% of that. And what they've said is for the period that this, what is essentially a state asset, gets renovated, which is needed for 60 years, she'll be able to keep 25% of the profits when they rent out the house that she lives in. So what I'm saying is, Britain, I feel like John Gaunt now, suck it up, Britain. She's an amazing woman. She deserves a new kitchen. That's,
Do you know, I was going to say he changed, but he hasn't. He's the same as he always was.
Do you
like the royal family, Aisha? I mean, I'd say
since I became a member of the British Empire, yeah. I sort of changed my view.
I mean, you're the establishment
one. Yeah,
she's an MBE.
That's amazing. Yeah. I'm so in awe of stuff like that.
Yeah. Ian came to...
Why? Because it's great.
I went to the palace.
I went to the party afterwards. Yeah. I loved all that.
Neil Kinnock did the speech.
Neil Kinnock did a speech. He's only just finished the other day.
Two people striking an anti-establishment note were there cozying up.
I haven't said anything yet.
Before you went to the party.
There was free booze. I was having to go. If she would have joined the KKK, I would have been
gladly quaffing the Queen's.
It would have been unlikely to be. Is that you under that hood, Aisha? She got an MBE.
I went to the palace, and I have to say, it did make me feel quite kind of well disposed to the royal family. But I'll tell you.
I don't like the royal family. Here's a prize. Yeah. Oh, thank you very much, Mum.
Well, she is an amazing woman. That's what people always say once they met.
The palace is. It needs a good spruce up, right? You get in there, it's really exciting. It's not in very good nick inside. It's all a little bit threadbare, and it was freezing. And this woman after me said, they don't like to put the heating on. They're quite thrifty. We were all sitting there like freezing.
She's still
and
on dial-up. It was really, you know, things need a...
It was really tight. We didn't even get like a drink or anything like that.
We didn't get a drink?
We got like water. We weren't even like a cup of tea.
Right, okay. Yeah. I mean... I the thing about not putting the heating on, I mean, it is a big old palace, isn't it? Mm. Heating a palace can be very difficult. I just like the idea.
I like the way you sound like you speak from experience.
Oh, the palaces I've heated. No, but it's just, I just imagine them all sitting in one room and Charles going out, shut the door, Charles.
Do you remember those snake draft excluders that you
saw? Yeah, I saw quite a few of them, actually. And Charles had fingerless mittens on.
Is that true?
I was Albert Steptoe of the royal family.
I was completely gullible then, and I was just in. That wasn't true then about the fingerless mittens.
I don't think so. No, but it's all right. We've said the Queen's above it all, but it's the rest of them. It's Prince Harry and his. And
do you know who annoys me? It's the Beatrice and Eugenie. They're just on holiday the whole time.
Yeah, the blaggers.
Beatrice and Eugenie are Sarah Ferguson's
daughters.
Yes,
they're Fergie's kids.
Well,
just on holiday the whole time.
Yeah, but what else have they got to do?
They could try and get a job.
Now that's funny. That's a really idea. All right. I can't say I'm a massive fan. I was talking about Prince Harry on Tuesday.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because he's got this. He's having problems because he's with Angela Merkel or something. And Meghan Markle.
Yeah.
And
that would
Angela
be a
Merkel?
Story, wouldn't it?
We're
staying in the EU.
Breaking. Hot couple alert.
I feel torn a little bit. I feel torn. I don't hate them. I just don't like what they represent. I don't see why we should have to... They represent the old establishment, authority. Why should I have to bow to them? What possible reason?
Because they're better than you.
Aside from that, just because the great-great-great-granddad killed enough people to be given a castle by the king at the time, that's the only reason?
Well, where the jealousy goes... Because the great wealth that they have, I think when you look at a billionaire like Steve Jobs or other billionaires
they've
that exist.
Right,
yeah. They've worked for it. And also, you know that you're a lazy piece of shit yourself and you go, I couldn't have invented that. And even if I did, I would have just fought it at 3 a.m. and forgot to write it down, right? So when you look at the royals...
opening the notebook and they say, what's this, Microsoft?
Ooh, Facebook. Yeah, Facebook. No, you know what? Someone's probably already thought of it, right?
Yeah.
However, when you look at the royals, what you sort of think is, I could have been that sperm. I could have. I could have been that person.
It's an accident of
birth.
It's an accident of birth.
That's what I mean.
It is.
That's the point. And yet we're meant to venerate him.
Or divine. Just throwing it out there.
Accident of birth. And The thing that is annoying is when people go on about people sponging off the states on benefits. You're like, hello, like, look at Eugenie.
What about the argument that they bring in more money than they cost? Because that is,
the profile.
I think that's more the Queen. I don't think anyone's thinking, oh, I really want to come here in case I can see Sarah Ferguson.
But they have
really... Prince Andrew playing golf.
They have coached in the next generation like an absolute treat. I mean, you look at Wills and Kate, they're already so popular at the point where they take up the mantle. I mean, it's almost like, you know, like with a cricket team where they've had an opener for a few years and then they get a young person. They're apt. People love them.
People love the only way is Essex. That doesn't mean that we should be like giving them
loads
of money.
They own Essex, all right?
People love Jay Goody. Should she have been Queen? I mean, it's. I mean, just because they're on
Queen
the front
of
them, Queen of Hearts, aside from that. But you know, the point is, they only love them because they're on the front of the paper.
None of us here could do.
She's the best Queen ever. She's Queen.
I won't have a word against her. I love her. I love
Queen
the Queen.
Squared.
She's amazing. She's amazing. And she's so like
my
friend.
Why is she amazing? She's a 9-year-old woman.
No, she's
never
really
worked
good
in
at horse racing. I think.
Never worked. She's just.
No, she works. She does work hard.
What does she do?
She goes around to all these events, and I'll tell you something.
Oh, going to events.
They are really boring, and she's got to get all dressed up.
So she's got a boring job.
Yeah, and she does it. She has to do it all the time.
Can you get away with wearing pastels? No, none of us can. That's why she's the Queen. Also, Mint green, mate. You try pulling that off.
When I went to that investiture, right, they happen pretty much every day. They go on for 3 hours. They have to just stand there, like, doing a prize giving.
Did you say anything to her?
No, it was Charles.
Oh,
I had a great
okay.
chat with Charles. He was brilliant.
Yeah, I've said this. Do you know when you see Charles and he's wearing his military uniform and he's got about 12 rows of medals?
I didn't think. Mm. Yeah,
what
I'd
are they
sex.
For?
I didn't think I would do him. No, I didn't.
What is he? No,
patience.
No. Patience.
All of them are for
organic
patience.
Farming.
First 10 years of waiting. Second 10 years of waiting.
One more quick thing before we go. FIFA, right? Now, I know you're not a football fan, Aisha, but you obviously know about the Scotland and England thing and the poppies.
Yes.
And FIFA are going to fine us, the British Isles, the players here, for wearing a poppy. Now, this is not the worst thing to happen in world football in the last 10 years, is it? Let's be fair. We've awarded the World Cup to Russia, so there's anti-Semitism and homophobia, and then Qatar, and then North Korea, I think, is 2026. And it just beggars belief that the thing that they get most excised about is something that's remembering the dead of wars.
It is absolutely ridiculous. I don't know who does their sort of public affairs or who advises them on like what issues to go in. It just seemed absolutely mad.
But they, I suppose they're saying it's the thin end of the wedge, right? So you start off with a poppy that remembers the dead. By the time...
Then what? But then there'll be live burials at games. What? That's what they'll do next on the centre spot while they're taking a free kick. It'll be outrageous, wouldn't it? Can't have that. God.
Yeah, I suppose what they're thinking is secretly, I wonder what emblems the Serbians would wear. I suppose they're going to that extreme of, if you're essentially remembering conflicts and the falling, where does it end up? So while I am patriotic, I could see something of what they're saying. I think FIFA kind of thought, right, we'll oppose this. They're going to do it. We'll fine them nothing. But at least we've kind of stood our ground. I think if you actually spoke to the people at FIFA, those wonderful, reasonable men and women.
Men. Who,
yeah.
Men.
Those,
men.
Sorry, yeah. Cigar chomping.
Men.
Straight white men. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Check your privilege. Delete your account.
But I have some sympathy for it. I think it ended up playing out roughly how it should have played out. But yeah, FIFA are the last people in the world to be telling us, right?
Yeah,
when we tell us, do we tell us where to fish next?
Okay, that's it for this week. My thanks to Jeff Norcott and Aisha Hazarika. I've been Ian Stone. Find us on Twitter at Taking the Pulse. We'll be doing another one as soon as we all end up in the same room at the same time. See you soon.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.